This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wahdah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi. Wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atihi. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة وقال تعالى إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا صدق الله العظيم Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah for all the favors Allah has bestowed upon us. And part of that favor, Allah Himself mentions, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ I have done you a tremendous favor. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ By granting you a Rasul from your own kind. He is a human. Like you are human. Not in terms of status and stature, but in terms of attributes of being a human being. Allah has mention it as one of his great favors. And we send salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we bear witness that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was commanded by Allah, Ya ayyuha al-Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O Rasul, Allah commanded him, propagate what Allah has revealed unto you. And you and I, we bear witness. Not that the beloved of Allah needs that evidence, but it is to our benefit by us giving this evidence. Ashhadu annaka qad ballaghta ar-risalah wa addayta al-amanah wa nasahta al-ummah, that he had conveyed Allah's message and he had fulfilled his responsibility and amanat, and he had done so in the most beautiful, pristine way. Brothers, there are two aspects when we talk about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mufti Sahib, may Allah reward him, spoke so eloquently about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being a rahmat. One is the greatness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You and I will never ever be able to relate or listen to the greatness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam equal to his greatness. Never. Huh? Never. Ey Rasool-e Ameen, Khatamul Mursaleen, tutsa kohi nahi, tutsa kohi nahi. Hai apna hai yaqeen, bisirqo yaqeen, tutsa kohi nahi, tutsa kohi nahi. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ay rasool ameen, qatamul mursaleen, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. This is part of our conviction, that there is no one like you. Dil ko himmat nahi, lab ko yara nahi, tutsa koi nahi, tutsa koi nahi. Our hearts don't have the capacity, our tongues don't have the eloquence to describe you the way you are. There is no one like you, to say in brief. The greatness, we will never ever be able to do justice. However, we are never supposed to mystify the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to such an extent that we don't benefit from his life. For after all, Allah has made his life a perfect example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ Verily in the life of Almighty Allah you have the perfect example. Allah in the 15th Supara in Surah Bani Israel mentions, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذَ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا Many people were denied from accepting the truth on this basis, that they said, Aba'ath Allah, the word Hamza here is istifhami. Did Allah send a human being as a prophet? Reply unto them, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ If the earth was inhabited by angels, I would have sent angels as a prophet. The earth is inhabited by human beings. I have sent a human being as a prophet. If Allah would have sent an angel as a prophet, you and I would not have been able to benefit from an angel. Because angels do not experience hunger, they do not experience thirst, they do not have desires. The human being, as a prophet, had all those and he achieved excellence with attributes of being a human being. And at the end of the day, we are supposed to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example. Today I want to lead you, relate one incident, and then relate the message of that incident. And I want to say that this is an incident which Allah in the Quran has referred to a great victory. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have granted you a very great victory. In the 6th year after Hijri, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a dream that he is visiting the Kaaba and the Baytullah. For 6 years since Hijrah, the Muslims, especially the people of Makkah who grew up with the sanctity of the Haram, seeing Makkah on a daily and a regular basis, they did not see the Haram. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related this, they were enthusiastic and so excited. They got ready for the journey. Seeing the enthusiasm, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also got ready. 1400 people, 70 camels to slaughter in the Haram. Didn't take much armaments. We are not going to fight, we are going to perform Umrah. Although at that time, there was hostility. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took extra camels and animals, marked them to be sacrificed in the Haram, to make it known that we are not coming here to fight, we are coming here to make Umrah. But the people of Makkah, although they had an undertaking that they would not prevent anyone from coming for Umrah or to see the Kaaba and Baytullah, they said, we are not going to allow Muhammad and his companions to perform Umrah. Their view was this: if we allow them to come and perform Umrah, the people will say Muhammad and his companions overwhelmed and they defeated them and came to perform, because there was a sense of hostility. There was hostility at that time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to know, Khalid bin Walid, Mufti Sahib made mention with regard to him, took a battalion and he prevented the Muslims and he stood in the main route coming into Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took another route, came to a place called Hudaybiyah, which is 13 kilometers away from Makkah. And when we go from Jeddah to Makkah, we have the bridge which have a Quran stain just very nearby is in Hudaybiyah, so close. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came there. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came there, then the next day, when the camel of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uswa, wanted to move towards Makkah, and they were driving it towards Makkah, it refused to move in that direction. Took it in any other direction, it was prepared to move. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at that time, an amazing statement. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized at that time that the dream I saw was true, but it's not going to be fulfilled in this year. It's going to be fulfilled in another year. Right. At that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a remark and said, if the people of Makkah present to me anything with regard to peace, I will accept it. Right. Now at that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Hudaybiyah. The people of Makkah then started sending envoys because they were now worried. What do you do? It's an impasse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to come into Makkah. They felt that it would be against their honor and dignity, and yet it was known that the Quraysh cannot refuse anyone to come into Makkah. It was an undertaking. It was an aspect of honor on their behalf. Now what do? They send envoys. You know, it is an amazing thing. You and I, one thing that I have been telling people, that learn to lead your life the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led his life. Don't take principles. Don't take management principles. Don't take leadership principles from anyone but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam negotiated the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is being used by universities in the world on the art of negotiations. We want to read Stephen Covey and Deepak Chopra. I say there is no greater leader and management principles that you will get from the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this particular time, Budayl bin Waraqah, from the Khuza'a tribe. He was at the tribe that was allied to the Quraysh. He comes to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why have you come? We have come for Umrah. Look at the animals we have brought to slaughter in the haram. Look at the amount of armaments that we have bought. We have bought nothing. We have come to make Umrah. Allow us to make Umrah. Budail says that the people of Makkah won't. The Quraysh won't, because it will be an affront to them. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him what the purpose is. Budail goes away and goes and tells the people of Makkah. Miqras bin Hafs comes next. When Miqras bin Hafs comes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, and I'm giving you this for you to learn lessons as I will go. Miqras bin Hafs was not an honorable person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, listen to him, but be careful with regard to his intention. Miqras bin Hafs comes and he goes away. He thereafter in the evening tries to come and capture Muslims as prisoners of war to gain ransom. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alert and said, we know his intention. He does not have honorable intention. So sometimes when you meet someone who is not honorable, alienate him. Alienate him. Don't have to get into an argument. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the jahil engage you in argument, say salam upon you, by I don't want to get involved in you with an argument. Then Hulais bin Alqama comes. The art of negotiations. When you're dealing with a person whom you know he is favorable to your view, then you relate and you make mention with regard to your view. Hulais bin Alqama was who? Hulais bin Alqama was the leader of the Ahbash. The Ahbash were the people of Africa who were in Makkah and Mukarramah, and he was the leader of the Ahbash. The Ahbash, the people of Africa in Makkah, they were people who had a lot of sanctity for the blessedness, for tabarrukat. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Hulais came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, go and put in front of him the camels that we have brought for sacrifice. So when Hulais saw this, he went back to the people of Makkah and said, oh people of Makkah, how dare you reject Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from coming into Makkah? He has come to perform Umrah. We have an undertaking. We will not prevent anyone from coming for Umrah. How can you prevent him? How can you prevent him from coming to see the Haram? How Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with everyone. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to send an envoy. Send an envoy to be able to see and to tell the people what my intention is. So he told Umar, you become my envoy and go and tell the people of Makkah what is my purpose of coming. So Nabi Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said in something like this words, in Zaban-e-Hal, in something to this effect, Ya Rasulullah, I will go if you command me and you direct me. But the purpose you are sending for me for is a diplomatic one. And I'm by nature hostile. I'm not someone who is very diplomatic. I'm someone who is hostile. They're going to tell me something, I'm going to tell them back in return. Ya Rasulullah, send Uthman ibn Affan. He's got the necessary qualities. He's got the necessary family members in Makkah. No one will harm him because he's got family members in Makkah. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Uthman ibn Affan as an envoy. Ulama write, they could not have been a better person than Uthman bin Affan to send. Because people loved him because of his generosity. Uthman al-Ghani. Ghani means one who was generous. So brothers, a person who is generous, he is loved by people. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, As-sakhi qareebun min Allah wa qareebun min al-nas. A generous person is close to people and a generous person is close to Allah. A miser is far from people, he's far from Allah. Even if a person is friends with a miser and he never takes out his money, after a while people will say, just leave him, he never takes out anything. Huh? So Uthman al-Ghani was someone loved. Ulama write, historians write that Uthman al-Ghani before Nabuwat, mothers in Makkah used to put their babies to sleep with these words, oh my baby, go and sleep. I love you as much as the Quraysh love Uthman. Oh my baby, go and sleep. I love you as much the Quraysh loves Usman. So Usman bin Ghani goes and he goes and tells the people, we have come for Umrah. Right? At that particular time, they tell Uthman. And here, the Sahaba are telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how fortunate is Uthman? He can go and perform Umrah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I don't think Uthman will perform Umrah without my presence. And they told him, Uthman, come and perform Umrah. And he said, I will never perform Umrah without Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They become angry with him and they keep him. They arrest him. Right? And here, the news comes. When the news comes that they have arrested Uthman, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very angry and disturbed. Firstly, it goes against normal etiquette. You never ever harm and arrest an envoy and an ambassador. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls the Sahaba, takes a pledge from them, which is known as Bayt-e Ridwan, which finds mention in the Holy Quran. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَاعِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ Allah is pleased with the Sahaba when they pledge allegiance at his hands under a tree. Allah is pleased with them and he will be pleased with them till the day of judgment. When he announces his pleasure, it's impossible that he will be pleased with them, mentions his pleasure, and then aliyadu billah, as certain sects mentioned thereafter, he became angry with them. It's against the Quran. And what did they pledge? We will fight to death for the sake of Islam. Brothers, you and I, we can make different types of pledges. We can make different commitments. But is there anyone who can make a commitment? I will put my life in line for the sake of my deen. Sahaba did that. Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put one hand of his on the other and said, this is on behalf of Usman. This is on behalf of Uthman. When they heard about the pledge, then they became very, very perturbed, the people of Makkah. They sent Urwa ibn Mas'ud. I'm going to try and cut down. Urwa ibn Mas'ud came. A remarkable incident. What happened? And he saw the love the Sahaba had for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He would tell the people of Makkah, I plead with you to go and deal with him and make peace with him. I have been your envoy to the Roman and Persian Empire. I have never seen a person, people who are more committed, who are more in love with a leader, who are more devoted to their leader. And what I saw, the companions of Muhammad bin Abu to Muhammad, you make peace with him. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time was in Hudaybiyah. At this time, thereafter, they sent Suhail ibn Amr. Subhanallah, Suhail bin Amr comes and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when he saw Suhail, the word Suhail comes from the Arabic word sahal, which means ease. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will make things easy. Allah will bring an end to this impasse. Allah will resolve the issue. You see, sometimes you and I, we don't take lessons from the seerah. Whenever you can, be positive. To be an optimist and to be positive as a first instant is the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Tafa'al al khair tajidhu. Look and pursue and seek for something to be positive about, you will find it. And of course, to be positive and optimist doesn't mean there is no challenges. The challenges will be there. I give this example. A rose does not say, I'm living within thorns, what can I do? The rose does not say, I'm living within thorns, what can I do? Everywhere there is thorns, I can't do anything. The rose blooms amidst the thorns. And even if the thorns are there, the rose will come out at its proper time. It will show its beauty even in the midst of thorns. You and I are supposed to bloom even in the midst of challenges. That's the meaning of being an optimist. There will be challenges. There will be difficulties. But we will bloom because that is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to be positive and to exude optimism and positive nature. Right, this was, then he comes and they start negotiations. Long incident. They come upon certain things that they start agree upon. Some of the agreement, 10 years, this year you will not perform Umrah. Very difficult upon the Sahaba to bear. We are 12 kilometers away from Makkah. We haven't seen Makkah for 6-7 years. And the peace treaty says, the treaty of Hudaybiyah says, you can't perform. You have to go away and come next year. Very difficult for the Sahaba to accept this. But this was a treaty which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is negotiating and has agreed upon. Right? Then, 10 years, there will be no war and hostility. Then whoever wants to join on behalf of the two major participants, they can join. Khuza'ah joined the Quraysh, Bani Bakr joined the Muslims. Right? Thereafter, very difficult, if any Muslim comes from Makkah, goes to Medina, the Muslims must return him. But vice versa, it won't happen like that. All of this is it looks apparently against the Muslims. It looks apparent. I'm using the word apparently very, very deliberately, because Allah has called it a victory. And the best I can use in terms of the words that we have at our disposal, apparently it looked like that. And even some of the Sahaba felt it was against the interests of the Muslims. And then Nabi Karim SAW tells Ali radiallahu ta'ala to start writing. And during the course of the writing, there were two sentences with the Quraysh objected to. When it said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Min Muhammadir Rasulillah, this is a treaty. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this is a treaty between Muhammad Rasulullah and the Quraysh. The Quraysh says, but hold on. If we believed in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and we believed in Muhammad Rasulullah, then we would not have had this hostility. The reason of the hostility is this, that we don't, aliyadu billah, believe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be a prophet. So what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? Remove it. Remove these two items. Remove Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Remove Muhammadur Rasulullah. Brothers, I want you to consider, I want you to think. Everyone put your thinking cap here on. What is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removing? Things that are true. Things that you and I got no doubt. But he was looking at the broader picture. He was looking at the broader picture, which you and I today we don't have. Mufti Sahab made mention that today we will sit and fight about minor issues and the broader picture will go away. And we will not realize. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't make that an issue. He had in mind that I want the peace treaty. And I will tell you why he wanted the peace treaty. And because he wanted it, that was a broader objective. He was prepared to overlook minor things because of the broader picture. Today, you and I, we don't have that. We will sit and fight over small issues and bigger issues will go by. Reminds me of a very interesting incident. You know, one day a person was a security guard at a hardware shop. Right? And at the time of the hardware shop, one laborer every day used to take a wheelbarrow and go out with, you know, all the dirt that were accumulated in the hardware. The saw, all the dirt, the packets, the empty packets and the unused cement, everything, put it in a wheelbarrow and move out. And the security guard used to look at that wheelbarrow inside, take the box, take the plastic, look at it properly. And every time he looked at it properly, he couldn't find anything. So one day he told the laborer, I don't know what it is, I know you're stealing something. But please, it is finishing me mentally. What are you stealing? Tell me, what are you stealing? I will give you amnesty. I won't even charge you for it. Whatever you took, you took. So the laborer said, I'm taking the wheelbarrow. Every day I'm taking the wheelbarrow. And you're sitting and looking at the small dirt every day. Brothers, that's what you and I are doing. We are fighting about issues when people are becoming murtads. That's the reality. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized the bigger picture. What did he say? He said, leave me, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I got the bigger picture, I got the objective. I want to achieve that objective. All these things are minor issues compared to the broader issue. This was how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at this. And when he signed at this time, look at the greatness what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to achieve. While just before they signed, Abu Jandal, who was a Muslim, he was tied in chains. He managed to escape from Makkah. And he is the son of He is the son of Suhail bin Amr. He had become a Muslim. Suhail is negotiating on behalf of the Quraysh and the enemy. And he comes into Hudaybiyah. Oh Muslims, save me. Save me, I want to come to you. Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, Suhail, your son is a Muslim. He wants to be with us. Allow him to come to us. Can you imagine what emotions must have went through the Prophet and his companions? And the Sahaba are seething with anger. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, Suhail, allow Abu Jandal, allow your son to come to us. I will not allow. This treaty says, any Muslim from Makkah comes to you, you must return him back to us. Nabi s.a.w. said, the treaty is not signed still. Suhail said, I won't sign the treaty. Nabi s.a.w. said, Abu Jandal, make sabr and go back. Go back. Allah will make a way out of you. This is how, you know what we talk of, understanding your purpose, unity of purpose, focus and determination, what you want. Abu Jandal, go back. In this instance, what stone upon the emotions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must have been there when he told him to go back. But he had in mind something. And then Umar came and said, Ya Rasulullah, are we not on haq? Yes, we are on haq. Why should we agree upon something like this, which seems so against us? And look at what is happening to Abu Jandal. We can't even go and perform Umrah. And when the Sahaba had to go and take out their ihram, although they were so devoted and so obedient, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them to go and take out the ihram, they were not even prepared to do it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went into the tent of Umm Salma. Seeing the disappointment, Umm Salma said, Ya Rasulullah, what's wrong? You're not looking well today. You are looking anxious. Oh my wife, every time I tell my Sahaba something, they prepare to do it. Now I'm telling them they are not prepared. Ya Rasulullah, look at the wisdom of Umm Salma. Subhanallah. Sometimes listen to your wives. Not always, but sometimes listen to them. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, they're not doing out of defiance. They're doing it. You know, listen to the wives. You know, sometimes we also... So one day a person was trying now to show how great he is. And he was trying to show how he is the man of the house. And he told the woman and he said, you better listen to me, otherwise the animal instinct in me will come out and I will get very angry. Better listen to me. The animal instinct will come out of me. And the wife said, who is afraid of a mouse? So Umm Salma said, Ya Rasulullah, they are disappointed. They are not defying you. You go and take out your ihram. They will also come out of ihram. Subhanallah. Now this happens. Now after this, let me give you now, why? And Umar was so, and then on the way, Allah revealed this ayat, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have granted you a great victory. Now let us look at some of the issues, why it was a great victory. Firstly, Nabi Karim s.a.w. away from the hostility, started looking at broader issues. Remember one thing now, brothers, I'm going to tell you the lesson. Never allow hostility to come in between you and the people whom you are living with in your neighborhood and your country. Because it will take you away from broader issues. We are hostile to one another, therefore we are fighting with one another. We can't take part in broader issues. We can't look at broader issues. Now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is away. What did he do? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends a letter to the rulers of the world, the kings of the world, come towards Islam. Come towards Islam. Subhanallah. This was our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam writes to Harqal. Min Muhammadir Rasulullah ila Harqal Azim al-Rum. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave everyone respect and dignity. When he wrote this letter, Mawlana Khalid Saifullah in his book on Sirat writes this. Some of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you entitling him Azim al-Rum? Hirakal, the great leader of Rum. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because his people know him as such. His people know him as such. They call him Azim al-Rum. I'm writing the letter to him. I'm calling him with the same title. We get caught up with unnecessary issues in our community. He addressed him, Hiraqal Azim al-Rum, in a long letter. Now, the point that I would like to go, I'm just going to sort of make it try and brief. And when Hiraqal receives this letter, he asks, is there anyone in this gathering or in this vicinity who knows about him? I would like to ask him certain questions. That time Abu Sufyan was in Sham, and Hiraqal that time was in Jerusalem. Hiraqal that time was very greatly fated. Allah in the Quran has made mention, غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. They were on the threshold of being defeated by the Persian Empire. Heraclius came. Heraclius came and changed the situation and gave victory to the Roman Empire. He was greatly fated. When he came to Jerusalem, there was great celebrations upon him. And there, Dihya al-Kalbi went to give him the letter. So he called, at that time Abu Sufyan, he called Abu Sufyan. And when he called Abu Sufyan, he asked him certain questions. And he put Abu Sufyan in front and he told the people of the delegation, stand back. And if he says anything wrong, you just tell me, you indicate, I will stop him. Abu Sufyan said, even if I wanted to, because of the fear that my companions will call me out as a liar, I had to speak the truth. Because to be called a liar, even in the time of ignorance, was a disgrace. Today we take it as an honor. I did this guy down. You know how I did him down? I deceived him. According to them, it was a dishonor to be called a liar, even in the days of ignorance. So he asked him, firstly, what sort of family lineage is the prophet amongst you, the one who wrote this letter? Huwa fina dhu nasabin. He is a very great family lineage. His ancestry is a distinguished one. Was any of his forefathers a king? No, none of his forefathers were king. Has anyone made a similar claim before him from his family? No. To the majority of the people who follow him, are they poor or they rich? They are poor. Do they increase or they decrease? They are increasing all the time. Right? Does anyone turn away from the religion after accepting Islam? No, they never accept. Never. Have you ever known him to speak lie before he made this claim? No, he never ever spoke a lie before making this claim. Is he given to treachery? No, he is never treacherous. He is never deceitful. He is always honest. Have you ever fought with him? Yes, we have fought with him. And this, he said that we have never betrayed us. And Abu Sufyan said, the only thing negative I could say was, we have a treaty at the moment. I'm not sure whether he will abide by the treaty or not. He said, this is the only thing I could say which was slightly negative. Then he said, have you ever fought with him? He said, yes. What is the situation? Sometimes he wins, sometimes we have won. Because by that time there were three battles. Badr, Muslims won. Uhud, the Quraysh had achieved a victory. And of course, Ahzab, in which there was a stalemate. Right, how did the fighting go? Sometimes he won. What sort of commands he gave you? He tells people not to worship anyone besides Allah. And he tells them to stay away from immorality and dishonesty. So all of that was said. After he said that, now I want you to listen to this very carefully. Right? This is now what Heraclius now deduces from this entire thing. His deductions. And he says, Subhanallah, what an amazing thing. قُلْ لَهُ سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ نَسَبِهِ فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُ فِيكُمْ ذُو نَسَبٍ فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ تُبْعَثُ فِي نَسَبِ قَوْمِهَا. I asked you that what was his lineage, and you told me he is among the very distinguished lineage, and so are prophets, that they are always distinguished in their lineage. Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, Wathila bin Asqar radiallahu ta'ala an narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala chose Bani Kanana from among the children of Ismail. And then he chose the Quraysh from Bani Kanana. And then he chose Bani Hashim from the Quraysh. And then he chose me from amongst Bani Hashim. And he made me the prophet. The most influential and distinguished lineage. Hashim was the grandfather of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had an amazing appearance. The Roman Empire wrote a letter for his daughter, a proposal to Hashim to get married to. The Jews used to see the nur upon him and said that from your lineage the last prophet of Allah will come. They used to bring their daughters for him to get married. Amazing. This was. He was among the people who used to feed the poor. Right? So this was an amazing Hashim. Anyway, we will go and make mention. And then I said, وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ قَالَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا فَقُلْتُ لَوْ كَانَ أَحَدٌ قَالَ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ قَبْلَهُ لَقُلْتُ رَجُلًا يَعْتِنِي بِقَوْلٍ قِيلَ قَبْلَهُ. You said, I asked you whether there was anyone who made such a claim or who was a king before him. You said, no. If there was someone who made such a claim previously or who was a king previously, I would have said, he is trying to gain what was an ancestral thing. He is trying to gain a lost kingdom that was in his family previously. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never wanted that. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah gave me the option of being a slave prophet, a prophet of humility or a prophet of kingdom. And I chose to be a prophet of humility. Allah Ta'ala put in front of me, I will turn the mountains around Makkah into gold. And I said, Ya Rasul, Ya Allah, I don't want it. One day keep me hungry. One day keep me satiated. When I'm hungry, I will make sabr. When I'm satiated, I will make shukr. The difference between a king and a prophet. A king always sees to his own personal benefit and the benefit of his family. What we will call cronyism. Let's look at what is happening in South Africa and other countries of the world. Cronyism. All worried about their own interests and the interests of their family. A prophet never ever does that. A prophet doesn't worry about the benefits to his family. He puts his family first in sacrifice, not in financial gain. So in Badr, when they said, Hal min mubariz, is there anyone who will fight? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put, who did he put first? His son-in-law. Who did he put first? His uncle. He didn't say that I'm going to stay behind. Whenever there was sacrifice required, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first amongst that make that type of, that's the difference between a king and a prophet. Then afterwards I asked, amongst the things that I asked was, this I found amazing. Did he ever speak a lie? And you said no. And Heraclius made this deduction. If a person doesn't speak lie in reference to human beings, then where will he speak lies in reference to the Creator? He doesn't speak lie in front of, with regard to human beings, where will he speak lies with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Brothers, let me tell you, until you do not establish your credentials of truthfulness and trustworthiness, you can forget about inviting people to Islam. On what basis are you going to tell people Islam is the truth when you are not truthful? On what basis you say Islam is a true religion but you yourself are a liar? The person will say, if you lied to me with regard to a business matter, then how can I trust you with regard to you telling me that Islam is a true religion? Therefore, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited people towards the truth, what did he first do? He first told them, O people of Makkah, if I were to tell you there is an army behind this mountain, will you believe in me? They said, yes, you never ever spoke a lie. After he established his credentials of being a truthful person and trustworthy, then he said, Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah, you would be. He first established his credential. You think by telling people, and you are telling people lies in your transactions, in your business, and then you're telling people Islam is a true religion, they're going to accept in you. On what basis? So when he said that when he didn't speak lies about human beings, where will he speak lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he asked, and what did he ask? And he says that are his followers, those who are poor or rich, فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّ ذُعَفَاءَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوهُ وَهُمْ اتِّبَاءُ الرُّسُلِ. Subhanallah. I asked you, are his followers poor or rich? And you said the first followers are poor. And so it has always been with truth. The first people to follow truth are the poor people. The first people to follow truth are those who are poor. That is why our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the first people? Sumayya, Yasir. And that Sumayya who was, you know, torn, and who Abu Jahl made the worst type of oppression against her. And Yasir, and Isbiru ala Yasir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Yasir, O family of Yasir, make sabr. Zinnira, a slave woman who no one heard of, she became a Muslim. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an used to beat her so much, and then afterwards he used to say, Zinnira, I'm stopping to beat you, not because I've got any pity in you, but because I'm tired. She was amongst those. I normally tell people today, you see, when a person has certain degree of wealth, there's a certain degree of benefits that come because of your wealth. You've got a very good bank account. Because you've got bank account, you walk in the bank, they will show you respect. Because you've got wealth, many a times if you travel, you will go in upper class. Right? So therefore, when you go in upper class, when you go there, you go fast track. When you go fast track, there is a very short queue. You go and sit in a lounge. So when you got wealth here, you have certain advantages. Exactly the same way, in the akhirah, the matter will be reversed. If you are poor there, you will have advantage. You got wealth, stand in the queue, go and give accountability. You are poor, go straight in the queue. The poor will go into rich 500 years before the poor, before the rich. Here you have wealth is an advantage. You see the advantage. There you are poor, you will be advantageous. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all this, وَسَأَلْتُكَ أَيَزِيدُونَ أَمْ يَنْقُسُونَ فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُمْ يَزِيدُونَ. Anyway, the incident is a long one. I'm going to try and cut down the situation. And this was how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote a letter. And then when Heraclius completed his entire interview of Abu Sufyan, then he read the letter and he told the people. And one of the things he said was, I knew that the last prophet of Allah is coming. I didn't know it will be from amongst you, from the Arabs. And I didn't know it was going to be so soon. If I were to meet him, I will wash his feet. I will wash his feet. And then there was such a turmoil in that particular courtroom that Abu Sufyan said, we were ushered outside because of the turmoil. And Abu Sufyan said, when I came out, then I came to realize, and I said that the Nabi of Allah had such an influence even upon the Roman Empire. And I came to realize the truthfulness of Islam until I accepted Islam later on. There's a very, very interesting incident. Heraclius told Dihya al-Kalbi, go to Daghatir. He is the most foremost alim of our scriptures. Go and show him this letter. Dihya goes to Daghatir. Daghatir reads this letter and he said, this is the last prophet we have all been waiting for. Daghatir wears a beautiful robe. And he comes amongst his followers and said, this letter has come. He is the last prophet of Almighty Allah. I have decided to bring iman upon him. His people and his followers, they kill him and they make him shaheed. Then he told Dihya, tell me what happens to Daghatir, and comes back to tell me. That time after Jerusalem, Hirakal came to Hims. And Dihya came and told him what happened to Daghatir. And then he tried to come upon the right path. Heraclius called his courtiers and said, I have this letter, perhaps I want to accept Islam. And then they became so angry, they rushed towards the door and said, we will not listen to you. And then he called them back and said, I was only testing you, how loyal to me. How loyal are you to me? He understood. But iman, the way they said, janne ka naam nahi, manne ka naam hai. It's not knowing what is the truth, it's accepting what is the truth. Anyway, I can go on making mention. The point I was making, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Allah has granted you a tremendous victory. What is a victory? When there is no hostility, there is no fighting, then you can concentrate on broader issues. When there was no hostility between the Quraysh and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote letters, and look at what an impact it had. Today, you and I, why we can't progress? See, we have had many great things in our country. But one of the things that we have not been able to do is to bring about the proper perception of Islam to the people of this land. And perhaps one of the reasons is we are fighting so much amongst ourselves that we can't look at broader issues. Because there was no hostility between the people of Makkah and the Quraysh, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could concentrate on broader issues. A lesson we learn is, as long as you fight amongst yourself, you will never be able to reach new heights. You will never be able to go great and great, get broader horizons. And we are seeing the lessons of Hudaybiyah within us in South Africa today. Then afterwards, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did Allah ta'ala says, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina? I have granted you a great victory. Imam Zuhri, rahmatullah alayhi, says, people regarded the conquest of Makkah as a great victory. But we, Sahaba, we regarded the Treaty of Hudaybiyah as a great victory. The reason is because for the first time, the people of Makkah and the Quraysh came to see Islam for its true worth. Up till that time, hostility didn't allow them to see the beauty of Islam. I say, if you are not going to remove hostility between you and the people you are living with in this country, how do you expect them to see the beauty of Islam when it couldn't be done by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you are going to, the people whom you are living with, the people of your neighborhood, the people of different colors, the people, the white, the black, the people who are non-Muslims, if you don't remove hostility between you and them, where will they see the beauty of Islam? Hostility will never allow them to see the beauty of Islam because they are hostile, they are enemies. Remove hostility, remove the enmity, then you will see them perhaps looking at the beauty of Islam. Up till then, they will never see the beauty of Islam. That is what we learn from Hudaybiyah. That unique advantage, which the Sahaba turned. That unique advantage which the Sahaba turned the apparent disadvantage, Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Brothers, that advantage is within our grasp. And what is that? The beauty of our religion. The akhlaq of our religion. Once witnessed, undeniable. Once people have seen it, they will never be able to forget it. The problem is we have not been able to show it to them. Yes, we have made salat, and may Allah Ta'ala always keep us steadfast upon salat. But bear one thing in mind. Salat is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat will never be, you will never be able to show the beauty of Islam to people because of your salat. Salat you need for your own reformation, your own spirituality, your own spiritual progress. You need it. There is no doubt with regard to it. But no one sees the beauty of Islam by your salat. They see the beauty of Islam by your transaction with them, with your business dealings with them, your akhlaq with them. That is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. The pillars of Islam are five. One of them is salat, zakat, hajj, roza, and iman. But have you ever seen anyone describe the beauty of a building by saying, the pillars and the foundations are very good. How nice this building is. How do you judge the beauty of a building? You don't judge the beauty of a building by the foundation, by the pillars. Anyone saw this pillar and say, what a nice building. They will see the beauty of the building by the aesthetics, by the paint, by the beautiful architecture outside, by the arches. Brothers, our akhlaq is the outside of our building with which people will judge us. And that is the power of akhlaq. Salat is between us. And in that particular way, my dear respected brothers, people will come to realize the beauty of Islam, not by theory, not by what is it? Applied Islam. Let me conclude with these two examples. When Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala was asked in the court of Negus to speak about the beauty of, you know, Islam, what did he say? Go and look at that whole particular lecture of his, the whole talk of his. He did not speak about salat, etc. Look at what Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the first wahi, dizzy and frightened by the strange experience. worried whether he will be able to fulfill this responsibility. He comes to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala and she said, "Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. Allah will never ever disgrace you." Why? Why would Allah disgrace you? Because your salat is very long. I don't want to show, my brothers, I'm very careful. May Allah Ta'ala ever forbid that we show insignificance to salah. Allah in the Quran says in Surah Muddathir, "Ma salakakum fi saqar." Allah will ask the people of Jahannam, "Why are you in Jahannam?" "Lam naku min al-musallin." We didn't perform salah. First thing. So I don't want to undermine, but I'm talking about a point that your salat is good for yourself, but it's not good to show people the beauty of Islam. Right. So what Hazrat Khadija said, "Wallahi la innaka latasilu raha wa tahmilu kal wa taqri dhayf wa tu'inu ala nawa'ib al-haq." Look at your akhlaq, look at your conduct. Whatever she made mention, you mend the ties of relationship with relatives. You are all the time entertaining the guests. You are helping the downtrodden. You are helping the poor. You are taking up noble causes. Whether other people accept in you or not as a prophet, I as my wife bear witness that you are the last Nabi of Allah. Brothers, applied Islam is going to make an influence. That is why Allah Ta'ala has referred to Hudaybiyah as a fatah. I was surprised when I went recently to the UK. I read a report. And the report was, and I even discussed it with some of the people. They said 60% of the non-Muslim population of UK have never ever interacted with a Muslim. And I said, if they haven't interacted, then how are they going to get a proper perception about the beauty of Islam? So the media is throwing that you are like this, you are like that, you want to kill all the non-Muslims, you are terrorists, you are like that, and you are in your isolated ghettos, then how are you going to change perceptions by being in isolation? Integrate on a daily basis. Where is the integration going to take place? The integration is not going to take place amongst the leaders. Is going to take places amongst your domestics, the way you treat them, amongst the people whom you are at the time in dealing with them in business matters. That is where you are going to change perceptions. We are not talking of assimilation. Assimilation guarantees oblivion. Ibn Khaldun, rahmatullah alayhi, when he went to go in Spain, you know, and he saw how the Muslims were imitating other cultures, he says very soon this particular nation and civilization and the ummah is going to go down. Assimilation guarantees oblivion. We're not talking to be assimilated. That will be the end of our civilization, the end of our teachings. Integration means a positive integration. You carry your teachings on your sleeve. You carry your teachings on your practice. You bring about an applied Islam that people can see the beauty. They can see the beauty. And that is what happened in Hudaybiyah. And then the Sahaba said, the 2 years between the 6th and the 8th year after Hijri, so many people accepted Islam that did not accept Islam in the previous 19 years of Islamic history. Why? Because they came and see the beauty of Islam. When they saw the beauty of Islam, they said that this is such a beautiful way of living, such a pure way of living. Brothers, Allah made Hudaybiyah into such a great victory, because it gave people the opportunity to see the beauty of Islam. What is amazing, we got that advantage with us in South Africa. How sad we are not utilizing that. That is the akhlaq of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give you neither tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Difficult to speak in front of you now.
No, we're learning.
How are you feeling? Only
English, no speaker here, so it echoes here.
Okay. Jazakallah. Jazakallah.